Hello, and welcome to the Pearl and Prodigal podcast. This is episode 3. And what I wanted to do in this short episode this week was just to point out something that you may or may not have noticed in your English translations. We were in a Bible study last night, and I pointed this out, and there were, I expected only one person to not have ever seen this before, known what it was, what its purpose was. But there were several afterwards who told me that they didn't know anything about it, and so I thought this might make a good podcast, just in case you might have not have noticed this yourself, or noticed and just didn't know what it was for. So there's a number of helps in our English translations, which are there in the text, that are designed to help us see behind the English and to give us a little more information that comes from the original manuscripts in either the Hebrew or the Greek. You might notice occasionally a footnote, a superscript number with a footnote attached, or a note in the column which gives you some more information about that word, an alternate word that could be used there that might give it a little more, a little different reading than the word that was ultimately chosen for that translation. You might run into brackets around a section of words or a word, and what that is letting you know is that there's a textual variant there that's of some significance, that and so the reading is unsure. The original reading is unsure there. All of these, and we probably need to do. I probably would like to do a podcast about the formation of the Bible and some things dealing with textual variants and things like that. But ultimately, those things only help the case for Christianity. But that'll be for another episode. So the thing that I wanted to point out last night, we were in Jeremiah chapter 1. And I'll post some images on the website that I hope will be helpful in helping you to see. Even if you can't read the original language, you'll be able to see the character symbols in the Hebrew. You'll be able to see where they show up, and I'll have them highlighted along with the English word they're translating, so that you can see something that's going on here. So we really only need to look at two verses here in Jeremiah chapter 1 in order to see this at work. So the thing that we're going to be looking at is dealing with the proper name of God. You've probably almost surely heard the word Jehovah. This was a suggested pronunciation that was used for some period of time and has since fallen out of favor. You've probably also seen it presented in the English as four capital letters, YHWH, or you might have seen that spelled out with vowels added as Yahweh. The thing is that Hebrew was originally written without vowels, so it was consonants only. And the pronunciations were passed down in oral tradition. So the where certain consonants might change in their reading and meaning, depending on the vowel sounds that should be heard there, pronounced there, though that was handed down in oral tradition, and so there were no vowels attached to the written language. It was sometime in the 400s, I believe, when this was A.D., so after Christ, that a group of scribes, Hebrew scribes, known as the Masoretes, came up and devised a system for indicating the vowel sounds that belonged with the words, and they did this in such a way that they used a pointing system, is what they called it, or what it's known as, and this pointing system does not alter the underlying consonants in any way, so the text can still be written as it was, and the vowel additions are added to the words above and below generally, and in that way it preserves the original way that it was written, while also giving some additional information that we don't have access to, because those of us who don't have access to that oral tradition. So the benefit there was that they were trying to preserve that tradition, so that we could know which words belong in those places. Which brings up some interesting questions in various instances where it differs from the early Greek translation that we commonly call the Septuagint. So the name of God again is four consonant letters. We don't know what those vowel sounds were, so our pronunciation of it is a best guess. It was left unpronounced by Jewish readers. It was generally, they substituted a word Adonai for Lord there in that place, rather than pronouncing the name. And there's a term called the Tetragrammaton, which is what this four consonant word is known as, and we find that we don't see Yahweh. We don't typically see that showing up in four consonant word, consonant word in our English translation. So what our English translators have done in most of the produced modern Bibles is they present the word there that's used to translate it in a type of all caps. It's actually the first letter is generally a full-size capital letter, followed by the remaining letters being in a font that's or a case called small cap. So it will appear as capital letters do appear, but the first letter is going to show up just slightly larger. That's much less interruptive to what we expect in the text as we're reading than if we were to encounter it in a truly full and equal sized all caps. That's the way it's helpful to us. Now we can understand this because we capitalize one another's proper names when we're addressing each other, or when we're writing about one another, we would capitalize the first letter of our name. That's the way that we show respect for the person in English. In this instance, when we're talking about God, there's a little bit greater respect that's able to be shown in the way that this is done. But it also shows you truly what lies beneath the translation and within the original text that you can't you can't see in the English. So in Jeremiah chapter 1, and again, we'll just look at two verses here real quick, two parts of the verses. So if you will pull out your Bible and you'll go to Jeremiah chapter 1. In verse 4 here, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me saying," so you'll notice, or you can notice there in your translation that "Lord" is presented here in all caps, with the first letter just slightly larger, but they're all presented in that case as capital letters. When you see that, what your mind has to read is Yahweh, or you can imagine or just recognize that that is what's going on in the Hebrew there. But there's a slight complication, because it's not always translated Lord each time. So in this case, we have a Lord that's in all caps, and lying underneath that in the original text are the consonants that we see in English as YHWH. So, but if we will go down to verse 6, we have a different example here that's convenient for us to look at, because it's so close to this other. So verse 6 of chapter 1 Jeremiah says, "Then I said, Alas, Lord God." So we see Lord here's got a capital L, but the ORD is presented just in standard lowercase, as we would a proper title that we give to someone or to a proper name. But in this case, the Lord here does not have Yahweh. It's not translating the word Yahweh from the Hebrew. So this word here, Lord, is translated Adonai. But if you look at the very next word, God, you will see that it is in all caps, just like we saw Lord was in verse 4. And what that is a translation of is that word Yahweh that's from the original Hebrew. So it's just there to give us a little bit of a help, for those of us that aren't looking at the original text. It's there to help us to know, hey, as you read this, this is what's it's translating. And the scribes took very, very careful steps in their as they made copies of the Hebrew scriptures. They were very careful in that they had proper ways to dispose of copies that had become marred, somehow become unusable in a section, or just became too old to use. They were very careful to have good copies. And so from my understanding is that they took extra special care when they encountered this name in Scripture, and had a very thoughtful ceremonial way of copying this name is just a way to remind themselves of the respect that's due to God. And and so you can think about that also, perhaps, that it's a very special name, and it should be to us. It was to them, it should be to us. And but that will help you in your English to see what's going on there. There's one thing else that I wanted to mention in this podcast that has to do with this, or touches on this same kind of idea. As the Christians began to copy the New Testament, scriptures, the letters, and assembling copies of Paul's letters, and assembling copies of the Gospels, and pulling all that together, there's an interesting carryover, it seems like, from this way of giving a kind of a special status to to God's name in the New Testament scripture. And so what they would do, the term given for this is nomina sacra. And what they would do, they would take a word like God, which in Greek is theos, so it's four letters, and they would take the first letter and the last letter, combine those two, drop out the two vowels from the middle, and they would draw a line across the theta and the sigma, the first and last letters of the word God. So it would just be first letter, last letter, with a line over the top. And this shortcut way, or this shorthand way, it seems designed as best as those who have studied this have been able to come up with. It's only used in those places which would be talking about deity. So you've got theos for God, you've got kurios for Lord, Christos for Christ, Jesus for Jesus, and all of these are associated with as nomina sacra, as using this kind of a shorthand type symbolic way of writing the word for deity, a proper name for deity, without truly writing out the entire name. Again, this seems to harken back to the great care that the Hebrew scribes used in making their own copies of the Hebrew scriptures. So I thought that was interesting. One more thing is that there is the earliest symbol associated with Christianity, of course, is the, you could probably guess it's the cross, but textually also the cross was used as a symbol in some of the early papyri. There's a symbol called the starogram, which is a combination of two Greek letters, which is almost like a small, almost like a graffiti type symbol, which if you combine those two letters on top of one another, it's, you can almost picture a man on a cross. So that's it for this week. I hope that maybe that's helpful for some folks. Look at the front of your Bible. The translators generally put some pretty good notes in there that are helpful, that tells you some of the special formatting that they put into your translation, or the edition of your translation, depending on the who's the publisher, that they use in order to give you some extra helps there with the text. So thank you again for joining in. I appreciate all the good feedback that I've gotten. I do plan to keep doing this on a weekly basis, and I just want to thank you again for the encouragement, and love you, and please reach out to me if I can do anything. If you've got a special topic that you'd like to look at, then please reach out and let me know on that. Okay, thank you, and I hope you have a great week.